Welcome to the Green Report podcast, brought to you by the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association, TNLA for short. My name is Kimberly Cabrera. I am the membership and marketing manager here at TNLA. The Green Report podcast will bring you current information on the industry, highlight businesses, and provide you with current research that can help your company be successful. But before we jump in, here is a brief message from our sponsor.
For more than 40 years, Hotchkiss Insurance Agency has been protecting clients in a world of unknowns, helping them grow and succeed. Hotchkiss Insurance Agency celebrates with clients when they reach their goals of expanding to a new location, reaching a financial milestone, or serving a record number of customers. Because that's what Hotchkiss Insurance Agency is here for. Visit them at HIALLC.com and speak with one of their insurance agents to see what they can do to help grow your business.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Green Report podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Cabrera. And today we have a special guest, Mr. Luis Chamado. He is with Heirloom Soils of Texas. Luis, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. So today we're going to be talking about something very interesting here. Can you introduce yourself, your business, and then your relationship with TNLA?
Absolutely. My name is Luis Chamorro. I'm from Colombia, South America. So if you hear an accent, that's where it's from. I've been in the industry for 14 years now. I started with a company called The Ground Up and was able to help that company get built to the size it is now, 3 sites and some really nice products. And I transitioned to Heirloom Soils, also known as Warren's, under the umbrella of JMJ Organics in 2022. And we were acquired by Site One in September of 2023. So now I work for JMJ Organics-Site One. And Heirloom Soils is one of the brands that I represent that we have. It's a packaged products, soils, compost, and mulch line.
Okay, and then what do you do with them exactly?
Most of my work is revolves around sales, marketing, and operations.
Oh, okay, marketing, same here. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for introducing yourself. Now let's get into the nitty gritty of things. We got a very interesting email from you a couple of weeks back about a fraudulent ring operating through Facebook Marketplace that specifically is targeting landscape supply companies. Can you provide more context on that ring?
Yes. So this topic has been ongoing for quite a while. I received a phone call on my cell phone from what I would assume was a client. This person had a very thick Caribbean accent, Spanish. I didn't know if the accent was Cuban or Dominican. That's a topic on the side that we're going to talk about. The person wanted to order a few cubic yards of gravel, and the address, when I pulled it up on my phone, was about 60 miles south of where we are. So I'm of the philosophy that if we can find a better way and a more efficient way to get the product to a client and we work with other companies that are clients of ours, I'm going to see if they can do it instead of us traveling 60 miles to take a few yards across. So I contacted a company in the Rocheron area, which is south of Houston, called Sienna Mulch, who is one of our customers. And I asked Ashley if she could take the product because it was 3 miles away from her yard. So it made sense to go 3 miles instead of 60. And also looking after the customer, the delivery for 60 yards was going to be $325. The delivery from three miles was going to be, you know, maybe $50, mm-hmm. right? So I'm looking after the customer and also the efficiency of that delivery and my other customer and somewhat competitor, Sienna Mulch, to take care of. Well, Ashley says, I can't do it because we've been scammed by these people a couple of times And I said, how so? So I explained, well, you take the product and whether it's, you know, a few hours later, a few days later, the credit card charge drops. It's then it's flagged as fraudulent. So I asked, well, do you know if you're using a fraudulent credit card or what is going on? She said, well, we don't know. But when we try to go there and confront them, because we know where the product is going, there's nobody there to talk to. And the product has already been used or has disappeared. And so I thought, okay, this is kind of weird. So that's where we left the conversation. We didn't talk anything else about it. And I called my office and I said, hey, can we get this product out? And one of my cashier says, oh, we've been hit by people like that. Okay. That now it's two people telling me this. And that's when I start going into detective mode pretty much. Yeah. So I called a couple of companies that are competitors and I called my previous company I worked for. And sure enough, I started hearing the same pattern where everybody in this industry and every company I called had been a victim of this fraud. Now, the main question was, how is it happening? Why is it happening? Mm-hmm. So in the initial part of the investigation, I started kind of creating a connecting dots to see what was going to make the most sense, right? And what I did is I took that phone number that I got the call from and I put it on the web browser. And the result was an escort service from the Lubbock area. And so I thought, okay, maybe this escort service has something to do with it. And I had a picture of a woman. And so initially I thought maybe it's the clients of this escort service who are getting scammed, like their credit cards are being ripped off, right? But then I thought, yeah, that's probably not a good explanation. Then we started throughout that week, we got so many phone calls about this same scam. Like the scammers are calling us, trying to get product from us. So I decided to go to one of the drop spots, and I sat there for about an hour, looking at who's working with the gravel, the product that's been delivered. And it was just regular landscapers with their, you know, their company names on the back of their t-shirts. And I asked them, I said, where do you get this product from? And they all, every single one of them, because I went to multiple job sites after that, everybody said, we don't know. Somebody ordered it for us. I said, okay. So as we dug deeper, and when I say we, I started calling companies and getting more information and more data that I can actually build a case. And throughout that process, I also called the credit card company. And the reason why I found out how to figure out which credit card has been used, there's a pretty, you know, a website, pretty simple, process where you type in the first four digits of the credit card on a database and it'll show you who the issuing bank of that specific credit card is. So in this instance, it was Wells Fargo. So I called Wells Fargo. I was on the phone with them for about 2 hours and they could care less about what I was trying to tell them. I was telling them exactly the transaction time, the amount of the transaction and when the transaction dropped. And I was trying to get some answers and nothing. I called Fort Bend Police Department. I called Houston Police Department. No answers. They don't care. Okay. So now I know we are on this by ourselves. We have to solve this. So what I started doing was sending emails to all my competitors and all our business partners and TNLA as well and said, this is what's going on. There's something interesting happening in the marketplace. A lot of companies are getting scammed out of money. This is somewhat how this system works. And I'm trying to figure out what exactly, how this works, right? What exactly is there that we can pinpoint and say, okay, this is something we have to look at and this is a red flag. So what really gave it away was an order that came through to us. Somebody called us for product going to a business. I guess they were doing a renovation on this restaurant, and the address was in this populated area, high traffic area. And I said, okay, we're not going to do that because we're going to get scammed out of the money. At the same time, I'm talking to the Ground Up, which was my previous employer, and also San Jacinto Stone, which is a competitor and also a client of ours. And the Ground Up said, we got the same request, but we were not going to do it. San Jacinto Stone, on the other hand, said, we got the same request, and this is the second request we're getting from them, and we're not going to do it because the first request already got flagged as fraudulent. So then I get a call from the Ground Up, and they're saying, we're going to deliver it, or pretend like we're going to deliver it, and find out if we can, like, dig in and find out more information on this. So, okay, so now we have things in motion. Now it's getting interesting because all this detective work is actually working out. As you can imagine, the excitement of, like, maybe something's going to come out of this.
Right.
So I go in person to the job site, and I ask around, hey, who ordered this product? And it's the same answer as always. We don't know. But hey, my boss might know. Here's his phone number. Okay. So I called this guy. I said, hey, there's some gravel arriving to this job site. And these transactions are not $200. They're like $3,000,
$4,000. No,
wow. Where do you get the product? Because this is what's going on. And all these orders you're making from wherever you're making them are fraudulent credit card charges. And he got really upset and worried. And he said, I bought the product off of Facebook Marketplace. Okay. How? Well, it's been advertised, and it's $100 less per cubic yard. And I've got the product in multiple job sites. Oh, so you've done this before. Yes. I said, well, you know, you're pretty much, whoever you're ordering the product from, you're in this ring of credit card fraud without even knowing it. You're not the victim. The supplier is the victim. And I explained to him, I said, the supplier is going to have a person doing procurement, ordering this product from a quarry. We have to schedule the time to take to procure the product and order the product. You have to have the loader operator look after the bin, make sure the bin is neat and clean for the product to arrive. We have accounting entering this product into the system. We have accounting processing payment for the product. Then we have a front end loader operator loading a truck. We have a truck driver. We have a person taking a phone call. So this is not only one credit card charge, it's a domino effect of people that work to get that one product out to a job site or to a customer. So when I go on Facebook Marketplace and I start typing in Spanish, gravel, which in Spanish, I don't think is the right word to use, but it's G-R-A-V-A, grava. It's just an abbreviation of gravel, Spanish, right? All these postings start showing up. And it's very clear what I'm looking at this point on screen. This is in late July or maybe late August. I don't remember exactly when we finally started breaking this case and kind of understanding how this works. And it was very, very, very clear what was happening.
Sorry, I just wanted, I guess, for the people out there who are going into Facebook Marketplace, can you kind of explain the posts that you're seeing and, you know, kind of letting them know, okay, these are little things that you could watch out for that kind of raise suspicion. I know you mentioned, you know, some people from the Dominican Republic. There was also, I think, a $50 offer for a ton of gravel. I just want to make sure, you know, people know what to look out for. Can you kind of go into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if you've used Facebook Marketplace before.
Sell a painting.
Exactly. Okay, you're selling a painting, right? I used it last to buy a pair of boots for my 15-year-old son.
Oh.
I just, you know, he had a dance, and I thought, you know, I'm going to buy him brand new boots. He'll use them once, and then he won't use them again, right? So I found boots on Facebook Marketplace around the corner from my house. But on Facebook Marketplace, when you type in any type of landscape material, in this instance, it's gravel. Type in gravel, and the first thing that comes up is, you know, all the gravel listings. And then the red flags are when you see something that says, we will deliver and land gravel to your door or your driveway for $50 per ton, all included, all in. Okay. So as a consumer of Facebook Marketplace, specifically now that we're understanding how this scam works, a landscaper comes to me and says, hey, I want a cubic yard of Blackstar gravel. How much is a cubic yard of Blackstar gravel for me being a landscaper? And we'll say $192 per cubic yard. That's just a made up number.
Mm-hmm.
And then the landscaper says, okay, well, let me go see Facebook Marketplace. Why they're looking at Facebook Marketplace? Who knows? I don't know, right? Like, there's landscape supply companies all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find this listing that says $50 per yard or $50 per ton. Well, that's a red flag. It's too cheap. The cost on a ton of Blackstar gravel is far greater than $50 per ton. It's a lot higher. Where does the product come from? If you're in landscape supply, you would understand why that's a red flag. The product comes from Canepa, Texas, which is southwest of San Antonio. Freight alone on that 1 ton of Blackstar gravel is over $50 for 1 ton. Like, the freight is over $50 per ton. Second red flag, contact us through Messenger and we'll take care of the whole transaction through Messenger. You're never talking to a real person. Third red flag. You can pay via Zelle only.
Mm.
Red flag.
Yeah.
Another red flag. You look at the picture of the profile and the picture does not match the name of the person of the profile. Let me clarify that. If the picture is of a woman,
mm-hmm.
who is clearly a woman, and the name is Jose on the profile, on the actual address, URL, Facebook, and the person doesn't have any friends or has just a handful of friends, that's right. A red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can see when the profile was started on Facebook. So it'll say, you know, on Facebook since July 2023, right?
Right. So,
then you'll know that profile is brand new and is used for that specific operation.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people, I mean, especially myself, go on Facebook, like you mentioned, just to kind of connect with other people and groups. It kind of, you know, you feel a little secure since it's been around for a while, but, you know, then you have these cases where it's like, oh my gosh, maybe it might not be, you know, how it was back in the day when everything started. So I just wanted to ask, you know, you've been kind of compiling evidence and, you know, making a case for yourself. How did Meta, Facebook, respond to your findings? And, you know, what actions did they take against these fraudulent profiles, if anything?
Yeah, so Meta, it was reported to Meta. I know somebody that works at Meta. And I said, hey, can you help me get this to the right person, the right department?
Mm-hmm.
And so the person that I know there said, absolutely, because I explained the whole thing in detail. Right. So before we talk about Meta, let's talk about how much the industry has been impacted.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Without really having exact data about transactions that have dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of about $500,000 just since since they started looking into this, of companies reporting, okay, we were hit 10 times. Out of those 10 times, the average transaction count was amount was $2,200. So that's the times they know they've been hit, right? So 10 times, 10 transactions, average transaction, $2,200, that's $22,000. Pretty simple math. Company in Austin was targeted, and I got a phone call from this company in Austin after I had posted this on LinkedIn. And they said, hey, we delivered 17 times in the last week. Do you think all the charges are going to drop? And I said, absolutely yes. And I followed up and they said, yep, 17 charges dropped. Fraudulent. So here in Texas, I think it's $500,000 of the stuff we know, the stuff we don't know about, because a lot of companies don't talk about this. They are, I think there's a shame component that a lot of people don't want to accept that this happened to them. And there's no shame in accepting it and sharing the data with me or with somebody that can actually gather this and crack the case, right?
Right.
We know that in Florida, and this is per Amy Graham, she told me that in Florida, about $500,000 were reported of the same scam in 2022. So now that we know that, this is the information I shared with Mary. And I said, this is how big this is. And this is just of the transactions we know about. So imagine what we don't know about.
And, right.
You know, multiply that times 10. Who knows, right? So it's a multi-million-dollar scam. They said, okay, so what are the specifics of your investigation? And I say, okay, 100% of the callers have a very thick accent. It's an island accent. I don't know which one it is. I don't know if it's Cuban or Dominican. Bring that up because it did help them with routing kind of their energy to look into what it is, right? And I told them everything I already told you. So when they came back to me, it was probably in January, I heard that they had taken down about 2,000 profiles where the IP address of the profiles originated in the Dominican Republic.
Wow. Incredible.
So that's why I call it the Dominican scam in Landscapes Plus. Not against Dominican people, but it is based in the Dominican Republic. So what do we know after that came out? And when I say we know, is that we suspect we know because we don't know exactly the inner workings of how this movement works.
Mm-hmm.
But we know there is a middleman that works in the U.S. that has a bank account, and that middleman probably gets a commission of the payment that the client is paying through Zelle, takes a little portion, and then transfers everything else to the scam.
Mm.
And so that's kind of like where the money funnels.
All flows. Yes.
Yeah. And to further explain how the scam works, which we are the ones that are affected, the landscape supply industry, the buyer of the product is not affected because, let's say, Kim, you go on Facebook Marketplace and you say, you know what? I need 4 cubic yards of gravel for my driveway. You type in your thing on Messenger and say, hey, I'm interested in this. And they'll say, what kind of gravel do you want? And they'll say, Blackstar gravel. And they'll say, well, we can give this to you for $50, or maybe sometimes they'll say $100 per ton land. So they say, okay. And they'll easily say to you, hey, you can pay now. And maybe those that paid in advance will never get the gravel. But if you say, I'll pay you when I get the product, then that's when the scam starts working. They start picking up the phone and calling a list of landscape supply companies that they've already identified in the market. And whoever picks the call and says, yeah, we'll deliver it to you. Here's the quote. Then they pay with a credit card. And then it's days later that the credit card charge drops. But you receive the gravel.
Mm-hmm.
Now a landscaper working for you and you tell the landscaper, hey, I'm going to have 4 cubic yards of gravel. Can you spread them out? And the landscaper says, absolutely, I'll do it. Here's what I'm going to charge you, right? So you save money on the product, but you never knew that you were part of a fraudulent ring.
Right. So I guess in the light of this, because it's still a very active ring and it's still a very ongoing threat, well, you know, how can businesses, especially in the landscape supply sector, stay vigilant and protect themselves from falling victims of such scams?
Yeah, there are some very, very noticeable, like red flags. Number one is very rare are you going to get a phone call from a local phone number, a Texas area code phone number, right? Very rare. It's always going to be a phone number from an area code from Florida, from New York. We've seen from Virginia. We've seen area codes from Pennsylvania. We've seen some from Oregon. I mean, they're very likely to call you from an IP phone, like it's an IP address phone, which is never connected to the state of Texas. Their tone is very aggressive. And it's a very thick accent. If you think my accent is thick, the accent of the scammer is very thick. Right. If you speak back in English, they get aggressive and say Spanish only. Almost like they're yelling. And so then you put somebody that speaks Spanish and they start a conversation. If you suspect that this is a scammer, as a landscape supply company, you can go and make up a number. How much is a cubic yard of gravel? You can say $450 per yard, which isn't a crazy number, right? Because a cubic yard of gravel is usually 109, for example. And if they say, okay, sure, that's a huge red flag because they don't care how much the product is. All they care is that about is what they're getting from the end user who's contacting them through Facebook marketing, which is going to be a few hundred bucks, right? They won't send you a credit card or a license or a picture ID via text message or via email. They refuse. When you ask for that now, because they got a whiff that we're looking into this, they hang up and they use a different company. So it's just like, it's a numbers game, right? It's a numbers game. And the company that falls for it is the one that's affected, right? But there's all these red flags. Accent, very heavy, always wanting to speak Spanish, will not send you anything via text message or email that identifies who they are, and doesn't really care about the price.
Right.
You don't go to a car dealership and say, hey, I want that, that Honda Accord. And the guy says, okay, $85,000. And you're like, cool. And the car's only $30,000, right? Like, no. And this is kind of the thing that we started looking into and just making stuff up. The new development about this is that we think they are now using AI to translate live, like as the scam is happening.
Oh, wow. Okay. So like translating in real time.
Yeah, in real time. That's what we think is happening because, one of our employees, Ricky, he said that he got a phone call from a New York area code and he was having this fluent conversation with somebody and all these red flags started popping up, not out of the accent and being aggressive, but it was like, wait a minute. Like, right. This is exactly what they, they're like, their system. Yeah. So we think they're using AI now.
That's so crazy. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So, I guess, what steps do you recommend organizations to, effectively communicate and raise awareness about this issue?
A while back, I sent a note to multiple of the landscape supply players in town here in Houston. And I included some from Austin. I included a couple of people from Dallas as well. And my call to action on this is, alert all the staff that deals with customers over the phone on a regular basis. Remind them of what's going on. Number two is be very cautious about taking a credit card payment over the phone if you don't know who the person is. So if Mrs. Jane Smith is calling from, you know, a neighborhood here in Houston and says, hey, I just wanted to know the price on 2 yards of gravel that I need for my driveway, it's very likely that's not fraud, right? Because I mean, you're getting a phone call from a homeowner. You can actually identify who the homeowner is, right? Mm-hmm. But I've heard some companies taking some extra measures, which I'm really glad this has happened as a result of this investigation and looking deep into it. I spoke to a friend, Ricky Morales from The Ground Up, on Friday in preparedness for this podcast. And I said, hey, what steps have you taken to prevent the scam from happening to you guys? So he says that all the cashiers are now trained to only take a credit card payment where the system, the credit card processing system, only processes the credit card if the right address to the credit card is given. So those dots connect, and then the payment goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very important thing to do because we don't know where the credit cards are coming from, right? That's like the biggest mystery
mm-hmm.
of the whole scam. And one of the things that I think, and this is not confirmed, this is just me thinking about where these credit cards are coming from. I think there's two sources. There is one, the dark web. They're just buying numbers from the dark web. Or this could be an identity theft ring as well, where somebody gets your social security number, Kim, or mine.
Mm-hmm.
They go online and they apply for a credit card. Let's say they get a credit card for $6,000 credit limit. And as soon as they get that credit card, they use it as fast as they can until it maxes out. $6,000 worth of product, right? Because sometimes they pay with two or three credit cards. Back in July, that's what they were doing.
Oh, okay.
This won't go through. So they're like, okay, use this one for this amount. So I think they kept up with how much the credit limit is. That's why I have a suspicion that this is a credit identity theft component to it. And if there is identity theft as a component of this fraud, then don't you think the authorities would be looking into this? But the answer is no.
Wow. So I guess just going back a little on that, did they specifically say why they, you know, weren't going to pursue any charges or an investigation?
No, there's never been a response to that. I think online fraudulent activity and online scams are so hard to pinpoint.
Mm.
Because as much as I want to say these people are based out of the Dominican Republic, and Meta has pretty much confirmed that the IP addresses are there. Who knows? I mean, there's a possibility that somebody's using a VPN that actually lands in the Dominican Republic and they're sending out the signal from there, right? So these guys could be in Houston, could be in New York, could be anywhere in the world, right? We think it's the Dominican Republic. We know the IP addresses came from there. But nobody has really cared to look into it. I heard from TNLA at one point that they had a relationship with the attorney general and that they could maybe escalate it. But until we have like 100% proof that this investigation that we're doing is like solid, a solid right. investigation, I don't think nobody really cares that it's happening. Credit card companies are not. They're not out of any money. Think about it. The only people that are affected here is the landscape suppliers.
Right. That's why, just going back to what you said earlier, sharing information is key, right? And just kind of talking to each other in the community. And, you know, that's why I'm so glad we were able to have this podcast, because I think this is a very good launching off point. And we can, you know, TNLA can use their network and get this across, but it's all about just talking amongst each other and keeping that communication going. You know, and essentially, hopefully in the future, having enough evidence where it's undeniable and we can, you know, stop the threat of this. So, you know, I just want to say thank you so much for, you know, taking the time to go out and finding, you know, all this information from the Dominican Republic people, from the middleman to the Zelle transfers to contacting other local businesses. You know, I think this is a great representation of our community as well. And you're leveraging that to your full potential. So I just want to say thank you for that. But is there anything else that, you know, you've found in your research now that you, you know, before we close out here that you'd want to tell the community?
Yeah. I reached out to the media, to TV channels, to radio news, you know, talk radio. How do we get the word out that Facebook Marketplace has this scam with landscape supply, right? Number one, I understand that it could be a little unfair for those that are actually selling landscape supplies on Facebook Marketplace legitimately, right? Because there's a lot of businesses that post on Facebook Marketplace. And then there's the bad apple, right? The scammer that's...
There's really always a bad apple.
So I think the one thing that I ask for those listening to this is share this podcast with one landscape supply company, whether it's here in Texas or in New Hampshire. I don't care where it is. Share it with one person, one associate, one competitor. And that competitor should share it with another person, another business. But then what can you guys do? I think as human beings in this industry, as people that love what we do, we need to ask everybody and we ask ourselves, what can I do? What grain of salt can I play in this whole equation? And that is share this information with anybody you can think of. I've shared it on Facebook groups that are non-landscape supply related. I've shared it with people in the industry. And the number one client these scammers have are those that are looking for a bargain, right? And how do we get the word to them? Because they may not care that they're buying a product from a fraudulent credit card ring. So the thing here is, how do we get the word out, and how do we get the word out in masses? It's incredibly difficult. Mm-hmm. And very likely almost impossible that anybody cares about landscape supply other than people that are listening to this podcast. But in reality, it affects an economy. Like, it can affect a company to where the losses outweigh the revenue or whatever they made, and then people are going to get fired because they made a mistake on the phone. Or the company is suffering through losses and they're going to have to lay people off.
Right.
So this has a negative effect now, but it has the potential to have a very negative effect in the future if it's not shared. People don't know about this. And that's why I've been working on it without any gain and really helping out my competitors in my industry to actually know what's happening. And some people have actually really gotten involved in it and have shared a lot of information with me and continue to share information with me, because it seems like if I can be the voice of this and prevent it from happening to others, I will work my hardest to do it.
Incredible. Wow, Luis. And where can people reach out to you? Do you have a certain email address that maybe people can email you if they see a certain scam?
So I can be reached on the social media profiles for Heirloom Soils, which you can see it here. I mean, you have my email address, but it's Heirloom Soils on Facebook and Instagram. My email address is luis.chamorro@warrens.us. That is luis.chamorro@warrens, warrens.us. Or if you want to call me, you can call me. I don't know if you want to put my phone number on the podcast.
Yeah, I'll link all the handles and the phone numbers.
I don't mind. And if you suspect you're getting scammed, I'm happy to look at, you know, the different red flags that you may think you have or you may suspect that they're there, right? I'm happy to look into that and really, help train your staff if need be. I can hop on a call, put me on speakerphone, and I'll tell everybody what to look for. But right now is the time when they're going to start ramping up. Right now is when everybody wants landscape supplies. So it's very easy to pick up the phone as a landscape supply company and just try to get the volume out because there's so many requests happening. But it's interesting that it primarily happened in the summertime. So could it be that, there's another thing. Could it be that the northern part of the U.S. has the most landscape supply activity in the summertime? Because it's after May when they start getting all that activity. Maybe they're thinking about that, the scammers. And so that's why they ramp up in June, July, and August. And that's why we get hit here in Texas so much during that time. But if you're listening to this and go to Facebook and go to Marketplace, type in GRAVA in your local market. And there's maybe an 80% chance that you're going to find one of these posters.
Wow. And I guess last question, do you have any informational flyers or anything typed up? I know you said you worked in marketing, so I just wanted to see if maybe we could also send that out to people or get something like that maybe typed up.
No, I don't have anything typed up. I have typed a lot of emails, a lot of long emails. I do have a folder on a Google Drive, which is a shared folder with a bunch of different people, and I'll go ahead and send you the link so you can share it or put it on the podcast links. There is some graphic images, just warning, and the graphic images come from the first phone number that I Googled that happened to be this escort service. And it's just a graphic image. It's nothing that, it's like PG-13 pretty much. But I can certainly make a piece out of this, out of all this data and share it with you. And so you can be shared. But, I don't know if you saw on LinkedIn, I posted a lengthy video. It was about 10 minutes explaining this. It's been shared about 10 times, but if it was to be shared 150 times, people would get to know more. Right. And so, it's a very important topic. I think we've gotten, as a society, we've gotten so used to being scammed that people just opt to stay quiet and not say anything.
I'm not saying anything. Yeah, like you said, there is a lot of shame, but I think there is no shame in this scenario. You know, it's just about coming together and exposing somebody and taking them down. So then, in the future, there isn't something like this happening. So we'll definitely get together and maybe we'll brainstorm a couple of things so we can send them out to you guys. But yes, please reach out to Luis and he will, be able to help in the best way possible. Please stay vigilant out there. And we'll see you guys in our next podcast. But thank you so much, Luis. Have a good rest of your day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Hotchkiss Insurance Agency seeks to protect that which is possible in everything they do. Hotchkiss Insurance Agency believes that by safeguarding one's most valuable assets, people and businesses are better able to grow and prosper. Hotchkiss Insurance Agency is proud to be an endorsed service provider for TNLA and looks forward to the opportunity to serve your company. Visit them at HIALLC.com today.
This has been another episode of the Green Report Podcast, brought to you by the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. I'd like to once more thank our sponsor, Hotchkiss. If you or anyone you know might be interested in staying up to date on current events, or would like to learn more about what we offer here at TNLA, please visit us at tnlaonline.org. Once more, that's tnlaonline.org. Until next time.